You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Cam Jordan. Here we are, 20th episode of Off the Edge, the podcast. Man, we here. 20th? Look at us go. Not only going to talk about the AFC Championship game, which, you know, Baltimore Ravens versus the Kansas City Chiefs, but we're going to talk about the NFC Championship game. Nick Bosa, balling. Hargraves, balling. Eric Armstead, balling. And then we're going to talk about, you know, who they played in the Detroit Lions. Tough to watch it. But we'll talk about it, as well as, you know, we're just going to get my guy, Kayvon Thibodeau, young buck, young bull, with the first, you know, 10-plus sack season this past season, his second year, turning it up on often his second year in the league. Kayvon Thibodeau. Now, let's get into these conference championship games. I'm not going to lie to you. I had picked, now in my mind, I was like, I don't care who wins. Like, if the Saints ain't in it, I don't care who wins. But in my mind, I was like, all right, well, it's really like Saints Midwest with Detroit Lions, Dan Campbell, Aaron Glenn. You know, you've got Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Alex Anzalone, even, you know, a former OG of mine that played at Cal, defensive end opposite of me, Tyson Alulu, had got activated and played in the game and even had a sack. Shout out to my dog, Tyson Alulu. And Detroit looked like they were convincingly winning in the first half. And then the Niners woke up, the giant that they are, and got to putting the beat down on Detroit, which Detroit still had chances to win the game. It was an exciting game. It was one of those games that you can talk about and be like, dang, I did not see this one coming. Just like you did in the AFC Championship game with Pat Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, every 3 series they show her, which I have, you know, I feel no way about it. I don't really know her music, but I'm rooting for my friends, you know? So I know Travis Kelce pretty well. You know, I think Charles Omenihu was balling up until he got hurt in the game. On the other side, you know, Marcus Williams, you know, Lamar Jackson. You've got Arthur Millett, formerly of the Saints over there. There's guys you can root for. So I was rooting for individuals. And yet I was still like, you know, Lamar Jackson do one. Pat Mahomes has like two, has been in 3 Super Bowls. But to no avail, Pat Mahomes, boy, done showed up and showed out. Therefore, you know, 11 targets, 11 receptions. Travis Kelce showed up and showed out. You know, Marquez, I'm not even going to try that one. Scantling Valdez. It's one of the two. Had the game-sealing catch, and that was it. Somehow, some way, the Chiefs, when they hit the playoffs, they hit it in stride. Chris Jones, killer. Monster. George Karloftis, baller. It's just one of those things that there's a reason why the Chiefs have been in 4 Super Bowls in the last 6 years, is it? Crazy. You can't count them out. Don't count them out. That's your problem if you do. So on that note, we're just going to talk about my guest coming up. I got the young buck, young bull, guy from the Giants, got drafted out of Oregon. Talented. Top 5 pick at number 5.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah,
it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A young bull, a young gun, a young killer off the edge, Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon, you know, fifth pick overall in 2022, second year ran, boy, went for more than 10 sacks. Bro, I just appreciate you tapping in with me. I mean, beyond sacks, you know, you still pushed in another 50 tackles, you know, went to work. We played y'all this year, and, you know, you were a menace. You were a menace on the line.
Yeah, I love to see the best of us. Y'all got the best of us this time.
Bro, you had a kid named Tommy Cutlet spinning that thing.
Yeah, it's one for the young bulls. He almost got it done. We're gonna keep going.
Absolutely. When you have a $40 million quarterback that you hope to be playing, look, I've been in that position where I've seen our starter quarterback go down and the next man up have to go. And you can win. You can win some, but some won't get away from
it. It get tough in that deep end.
Yeah, when you go from a Desert Eagle to a Smith & Wesson, you're like, all right, we can get the job done.
Yeah.
So second year, man, what changed for you this year? You talk about first year you got acclimated, second year you turned it up.
Oh, man, just the comfortability. You know, you talk about being second year in the system, second year, you know, going against the best guys in the league or the best guys in the world, I should say. You just start to feel more comfortable. You get a little more time to rest. You get more time off, you know, obviously coming off college, you got the draft and all that to prepare for. So you never actually get your body time to rest and time to, you know, focus on football, you know. So now I had a full off season last year. I was able to come in. I was able to really focus on the game and how to get better and what I need to get better at. And then, you know, I was able to, and then playing alongside guys, obviously Dexter Lawrence, learning how to rush the passer with, you know, other guys. Leonard Williams, he got traded, but, you know, that was a guy who kind of helped develop my game. And then Aziz on the other side and every other man that's kind of stepped up and been a part of the front. We just been, you know, they've been a vessel and they've been there to, you know, help me grow. And we've learned how to rush as a unit. And that was a testament to, you know, the plays we're making.
We love that PC answer. Yeah, yeah. Give flowers to everybody. Okay, I see what you did there.
You got to, man.
Big Euro step. You clearly hooped in high school. Mm-hmm. Big Euro step. I see what you did there. Yeah, big leg. From the film that I've watched, I mean, you know, your first year, you showed some glimpses. This year, it seemed like, you know, I don't know how to say that. Without having to say pause, you learned how to use your length more. Like this crazy work to say out loud, you know. Yeah. But as a defensive end, bro, you learned how to extend your arms out, lock out, and as well as you know, your long arm and power sort of came into play.
So for me, you know, I used to use long arm in college, but you start to play against guys that aren't, you know, they're not going for it as much as guys were. You got Trent Williams, you got, you know, Penei Sewell, you got guys across the league who are you're not gonna let a guy that's 255 pounds long arm you. You know, right. And for me as a rookie, I, you know, you have that kind of in your head, right? It's like you're going to fight Mike Tyson. It's like, okay, I know what this guy has. So it kind of intimidates you and what you can do. So me kind of coming into the second year, I was able to build that confidence in the moves that I've already had, but, you know, able to kind of believe in them a little more and start to, you know, put them on display.
No doubt. Do you have a favorite pass rusher move now?
I mean, I would say long arm. You know, that's always when you are a guy with length, obviously, you know, you got to keep guys at a distance because I'm not the strongest guy. I can't, you know, you see a lot of guys kind of just move guys out the way. And Dexter Lawrence, Leonard Williams are guys, examples. Even you are an example of that. When you have a little more weight behind you, you can, you know, you can use your moves. You can throw them around. But me now being able to use the long arm, keep the length and work off of it, you know, you start to see how there's so many moves and it's really just the angles. Your angles are a lot better off the long arm rather than like last year. It was a lot of running around the quarterback and it was like, I got pressures and I got, you know, hits, But I had to kind of shorten that angle because, you know, guys are stepping up. Quarterbacks, they get paid money they do for a reason.
Yeah, look, I like to switch it up into, in my mind, it's three, really, really two different angles. I think about a speed angle, which is a vertical attack. And I think about a power angle, which means I'm going to sit your ass down. You know, and I say three angles because then, like, there's some times where you go into a wide nine-ish.
And you got to shorten.
Yeah, and then you still angle them down. So now instead of, you know, meeting them at what you think would be a speed angle, it's like a combination.
You never realized how much geometry was in football, right?
Man, hey, adding all the angles.
It's crazy.
Girlfriend out there like, so bring that over here. You know, like, you know how to shorten that still. Okay, come bring it over here. Or wife in my case, because, you know, I'm married with four kids.
Yeah, that's a good life, man. That's a good life. I'm not there yet, but I'm going to cross over soon.
No, you don't
Soon is relative. Soon is relative.
Yeah, when that mustache and beard drop and connect. When they connect, we'll talk about it. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Enjoy,
you know, year two. Enjoy year three, four, five, six, maybe introduce the idea.
Yeah.
Look, I think I got to year four before my son showed up.
I hope the people notice when he started talking, he started whispering, you know, you don't know.
Because I'm going to catch flack from wifey regardless. So let's just, where exactly do you want to go with it? But I'm sure you watched the games this weekend, bro. What did you take away from the conference championship games? Because basically, we all want to be there.
Oh, man. Obviously, like, dude, just first, I feel like a lot of people were rooting for Lamar. And I'll just start off with the Lamar Patrick Mahomes game. A lot of people were rooting for Lamar because of the flack that he gets, right, for his style of play. Right. And I think us being players and us knowing how to grind, like, for example, you do a swim move. Your swim move is better than any swim move I've ever seen. But I could promise that there are coaches or people that probably told you along your lines that, oh, the swim move is, you know, that's not the move, or, you know,
never,
like that.
Never going to work.
Never going to work. You've heard that and you made 100 sacks, you know, in counting, whatever, to get to that point. But yeah, man, you talk about a lot of guys seeing a guy like Lamar Jackson and what he can do and what he brings to the game and, you know, all the flack that he gets and all of the scrutiny that he's under, even though he is one of the, you know, greatest athletic, you know, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, I think, as far as athleticism and ability.
Athleticism, crazy.
So, you know, I feel like we're all rooting for him, you know, watching the game. Obviously, Baltimore has a great defense. But I think, you know, Patrick Mahomes, they've just been there too many times. I hate to say it. You just been there too many times. You've done it too many times.
King of the Hill, you got to prove them. You got to prove them they're wrong. Because it's four Super Bowls now in 5 or 6 years. Even without this one, three Super Bowls in 5 or 6 years. I'm 13 years in, I ain't seen a Super Bowl.
You got Chris Jones in the middle.
Man. George Karloftis just living his best life.
Hey, shout out to Karloftis. He's a boy. Yep. He, you know, we were in the same draft class. He's a dog.
Right. Charles Omenihu. Man, going crazy.
Guys are eating. And then the young guys in the back end, you know, the DBs, you got to step up. You got to make plays. You got to stop it. And they're making plays, man.
No doubt.
And I would say on that, you know, when you just talk about the game, it's tough when, you know, you are fighting that uphill battle, you know, and they obviously fought to the end, but, you know, it's tough, man. So they're going to get it right. I still see them being a good team.
If you give them back three plays, the Zay Flowers could have been touchdown. The interception in the end zone.
I left the house right when he caught it and he did he got the flag. I was leaving and I'm like, oh yeah, they're going to score. And I come back and I realize the score was the same. I'm like, yo, it was touchback rule. What do you think about that? That touchback.
It is what it is. Hey, if you fumble,
as a defender, I love it. Hey.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's just desserts. Like, we're not going to reward you for you. Like, you're not going to get rewarded for trying to be Superman. But at the same time, Zay Flowers, as young as he is, bro, like, as special as a season as he had as a rookie, like, he's going to continue building on that. Like, hopefully he uses that as motivation and becomes even more of a dog, which he already was.
Yeah, it happens to the best of us. That's one of the things that you wouldn't wish on anybody. It's just, you know, it happens.
Man, you know, and on that, look, on the same team, there was Marcus Williams. Like, I believe his rookie year, he had something similar happen, like, against, you know, New Orleans Saints playing Minnesota. But he was wanted.
Oh, my God. Why did you just bring that up?
Exactly, because that's the epic level that was there, right?
Yeah,
so you can be, you know, where you could pivot one of two ways. You can get down on yourself and not be a better player than you were before, or you become like Marcus Williams, who, you know, ended up getting a major contract, going crazy, had like 7 picks two seasons ago. Like
It's funny how you say that, because like for me, that was my last year. Like going 4.5 sacks, like that's obviously not what I wanted to be or what I wanted to do. But it was like, for me, you know, when you watch the game and you understand football, it's like a scheme. There's so much that goes into getting a sack.
You can win all your reps and still not get sacked.
Like, still not get a sack. And that's just the game we play. So for me, it was like, at the time, it's like, damn, man, like people calling me bust. People like, oh, this dude is, blah, 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 the media, yeah, this and that.
But your first sack was off, like, let's even talk about it. But your rookie year, your first sack was off what? Lamar Jack for the strip sack fumble, really to like seal the game.
Win. Yeah, it was a seal the game. It was pretty legit.
My rookie year,
it was a blessing.
Like that's what I'm saying. So there's flashes. Like as a rookie, you'd be like, all right, bet, this is what we can build off of. You can't label a rookie a bust. Like I don't think there should be an ability to do so. Like rookie year one is foundation year. Now show me something else.
It's definitely, you know, building grounds. And I would say it's just tough, you know, when you're a kid going through, like, you know, 19, 20, 20, or probably not 19, but 20, 21, 22, you're a kid going through, you know, and you got the world at your hands, basically. And it's like,
right.
Even like, you know, like you say, the Zay Flowers situation, like this kid is just trying to make as many plays as possible. You know, he's never been at a stage bigger than this. So it's like he has to prove, you know, his legacy in one game. And it's like stuff just, man, you know, sometimes the football gods, you know, sometimes the game just goes the way it goes. And
no doubt. Hey, it's crazy. You're going to bring up the football gods. You know, hey, them old coaches used to swear, man, you got to listen to the football gods. You got to be
in
here.
I believe in the football gods.
Look, I believe in a football outlying source. You know what I mean? Brother Christian, there can only be one God. You know?
Not the word we should use as a God. The football energy.
There we go.
You got to respect the game.
Old coach would drop that joint. I came home one time and was like, man, the football gods. And my mom looked at me. I was like, yes, ma'am. Loud and clear.
You're right. Football, but it ain't that.
Football outliers. Energy. Yeah. I like energy. I might use that one. But so then you go to, you know, you checked out that game, which Pat Mahomes boy is just, it just is what it is. He catches a lot of hate for his outside circumstances. People like, did you see his dad smoke a cigar? Did you see his
love his dad?
Wife
his dad reminded my dad. Yeah.
Like, can you see his wife being all happy and chipper? Can you like, I'm like, bro, if people around me are having success, I'm going to be the most annoying mug out there. I'm Jackson Mahomes. I'm out there on the 50-yard line dancing. You can't
come on.
Us.
I'm TikTok and I'm dancing. Us. I'm what? Super Bowl every year. Come on, bro. Listen, I went to the Bills Chiefs game, bruh. Taylor Swift got her own thing. It got the shade on the glass, right? The Mahomes family's on the other side. Soon as they open their box, snowballs just come flying in. Like the Bills fans are just launching snowballs. And the dad, you know, the dad is right in front and it's just so cold because he's, you know, obviously he's not a part of the shenanigans and TikTok and all the fun stuff. But he's just
Jason Kelsey. Is that when Jason Kelsey like jumped on the other side of the window and like started throwing something back?
Exactly. Yeah. It was definitely a time. But when you win in, it's nothing people can do other than look for other reasons to tear you down.
I like him because I'm a winner.
That's it.
He took over from Alex Smith and didn't
look
back.
I just seen a tweet that's like, yo, Patrick Mahomes is gonna be the Michael Jordan of the NFL. Like, watch how many great quarterbacks don't have a ring because of Patrick Mahomes. And I was like, yo, that's true. It's a bunch of Charles Barkleys and, you know, all the rest of the guys I was out there with no
Cam
rings
because
of Michael Jordan. Oh yeah, Cam Jordan. Dude, you tell me it was year 13 without a ring. I was like, yo. Question for you. Hey, I got a question for you. So that was the thing that I saw in the NBA. I think it was Gilbert Arenas, and they were talking about would you rather get, you know, a $50 million contract and a ring or a $100 million contract and no ring?
I'd have to answer it.
Don't answer it because of what the media is going to say. Don't answer
it. I've got no fear of media. Look, I'm only going to ask this. Does it matter where? Because it's going to matter where for me. Because there's places in this world, like Buffalo, could not offer me enough money to get there. It's too cold.
Yeah, too cold.
Like, bro, my only prayer before I got drafted was, Lord, don't send me anywhere cold. Green Bay, they could be like, oh, man, we're going to make you the highest paid defensive end at $35 million a year. And I'd be like, politely, thank you for your offer. I'm going to take something else.
Yeah, like I'm okay.
Bro, I'm never going to play somewhere cold. Because after you, if we're fighting over $50 million, $100 million, that's still more money than I've ever wanted in my life. I came into this game, I was like, hey, if I leave with $10 million, I'm never going to have to work again.
If I leave, like, if I leave with pension.
Man, what? I was like, if I leave with 10, I never have to work again. Mom never have to work again. We good. Mm-hmm. Man, I passed that up like by year 4 or 5. You know, so like, so if you say $50 million in one hand, $100 million in the other, no ring, Super Bowl ring, I'm taking the Super Bowl ring, but it's going to depend on the where. Yeah, it's going to depend on where.
Gotta get that bowl.
If you say, yo, Cam, you can stay in New Orleans for the 50 or you have to go to New England for the 100, I'll be right here in New Orleans.
Chilling, huh? Chilling, 50
now,
that.
Now,
I'll be the 50 boys.
Right. If you say 50, Cam, at Cleveland or 100 at Buffalo, I'm retired. Look, I'm going to hit you with that grunt line.
Let's say you saw the future.
Yeah, it's all got to be New Orleans. Only black people.
Four years ago, they like, look, we got $2 million to come to Kansas City. And you knew what the future was going to be. I'm talking about it ain't nothing, but you knew they win the Super Bowl. They're going to win the next, you know, however many Super Bowls.
No
what
doubt.
You doing?
I'm staying right here in New Orleans. Can't leave.
That's what I like. That's a great answer. Don't do it.
But, I'm going to stay in New York too. But see, you already playing the cold. Half of it's because I'm not playing in the cold. I seen that thing. Bro, I played my first cold game, bro, at year 12 in Cleveland. -30 and -25. It was some dumb stuff. It was like 3 degrees, but with the windshield, it was like -20 something. When I tell you it affirmed everything I've ever believed in, I was like, no, I don't play. I played this game. I hated everybody. I hated myself. Like, I'm not a good person in the cold. I was like, man, screw you. Screw you. My coach said something to me. I was like, bro, it was too cold.
When you're losing and it's cold, it'll make it no better.
Boy.
Man, and I was seeing the pain. So then you talk about the next game, you talk about the Lions, and you talk about who did they just play, man?
Niners.
And it's like you just see like and for them, it was at the 49ers, right?
It was in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, that's San Francisco. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah, North Bay. Not really San Francisco, but like North Bay.
Whatever. It ain't that bad. So, but you talk about like that turmoil of continuously playing. Like, man, I felt those Lions players. Like, you go in there and it's like, man, you know, you work so hard and it's like you come up this short. The check ain't even worth it.
The check not even worth it.
You could keep my check.
Bro, I stopped watching after halftime. I left and like was enjoying my pizza.
Thought it was a blowout. Look, I went on a
walk. I was like, all right, so this game over. I was like playing with my kids, doing some other stuff. I was back by then. Bro, like, I was like, all right, cool. I come back. I look up. It's the fourth quarter and it's tied up. I said, what?
Yeah, it's some ducks on that. Some ducks on that Niner team. We got some ducks on the, you know, shout out to Penei Sewell, man. I mean, great player, great offensive player. But, you know, the 49ers got some of our guys, too. So I'm happy for them.
Sco ducks. And look, the last of the pack. I mean, man, I don't even know how to feel about that, bro. In fact, it's beyond the pack. Like, I think when I left, like, that was the last year of Pac-10. Yeah. Think about that. Yeah, so then it went Pac-12, and I never claimed Colorado or Utah. I was like, them guys? I'm not
Utah been
them.
Good, though. I mean, we Facts. Beat Utah. But Utah, yeah. No, they did beat us that last time. I mean,
Cal went horrible after I left. So, like, Cal got real bad. And we was scraping, you know, we used to have some battles out in Eugene.
Eugene.
Man, we used to have some battles. Deshaun Jackson going crazy my freshman year against y'all in Autzen, back when it was like really rocking.
It's still rocking. You know, I know Cal's not rocking
it's
that
not
much,
the,
but
it's not the same. It's not the same. It's not the same. I'm trying to tell
bro,
you.
When I came back, I got ejected from a game.
Talking about for y'all. I was talking for Cal. It's not the same.
We used to pack
70,000. It's like 68,000 out. Like people on the hills out there rolling in. Bro, you couldn't buy them tickets. Boys would refuse to sell them to you.
And I think more people, like there's a little hill right outside the stadium, I think.
Yeah.
More people sit up there on that hill than are
in the stadium. Sure. No doubt.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, it's bad. Yeah, like Cal.
Yeah, I didn't know there was that many bootleggers in Cal.
Hey,
they're up there bootlegging. Hey, I'm like, yo.
Hey, that's crazy. Like, things have changed. But, I mean, you know, Oregon hasn't. Oregon sort of stayed the same. They got all that Nike money, which leads me,
shout out to Uncle Phil.
Man, which leads me to NIL though. Like, what's that even hitting on? Like, listen, you one of the first to really capture NIL and make you know everybody in the world jealous.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you had NIL deal. Like, what did that even feel like knowing like you wasn't phenomenal? Man,
It was the sickest thing that could have happened, and sick meaning great. Just because, right. You know, if you were equipped with the infrastructure as far as like knowledge and people around you. I mean, it was dope. So me, you know, I was able to make money during the time, but you talk about the money they're making now compared to when I was making money. It's not even close.
But you're always going to say about the next gen.
It's inflation. It is what it is. And it's like and that's what I think. Like, even the guys that didn't, you know, in the league that didn't, it's like, yo, I'm sorry for them.
Man.
They had to walk so we could run.
Looking at Cal guys, like, yeah, man, you know, I'm like, man, I like, compared to all the other schools, I'm not making anything. Like, hey, I got this deal and I got like 10 grand. Hey, boy, you know what I would have done with a 10 spot in college?
Come on. The real problem is that there's no education infrastructure. So now you're giving a bunch of young guys who don't have any liabilities. So if I don't have any liabilities, I don't have to worry about what I use my assets on as far as my money, you know? So it's like when you talk about you're giving guys 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, bro, I had 80, two cars 100. In college. Why did I have two cars in college? Because I could. One was free and I paid for one. Why would I pay for one when I got one free? But it's just like having knowledge, having understanding of what's important. And it's like, that's what I think is what's missing, you know, in that whole level.
Oregon started education.
You know, like, giving guys understanding that like, you just hit for $500,000. You got to pay taxes on that, big dog.
Have to go. Who fight?
You got to pay taxes on that, big dog. We don't know that. We don't know. I've never paid taxes. I've never had a job.
Right.
So it's like, you know, when you talk about it's a blessing and a curse. And now that we have all of this, we got to go, you know, we got to be proactive about the information.
No doubt. I'll say, how is that navigating that space? Does college help out, or is it just like the wild, wild west? Like, you got to figure out
so for
how to pay taxes.
Oregon, mm-hmm.
Financial
advisors. For Oregon specifically, they created something called Division Street, which is basically what we just talked about. It's an infrastructure for student athletes to learn about NIL, to learn about business, and basically give them resources on, you know, the things they need.
Money management course.
Exactly. But
if your parents didn't give you a checkbook, here's a checkbook.
Do all schools do that? No. Is it something that's regulated by the NCAA? No.
Absolutely not.
Will it be regulated by the NCAA when they can put taxes on it?
I'll say when they can make their piece.
Yeah, when they can get their cut. But
NCAA can find a way to get their cut.
Of course, man. They tried to tell us my first year, they're like, yeah, any deal you get, register it in this database. And I raised my hand. I said, so what's gonna happen if we don't? The lady said, they're still kind of figuring out what the repercussions are. I said, so I'm not going to tell you what I'm making. Are you stupid? I was like, what? Why? That don't even make sense. You want to tell you how much money I'm bringing in? So you got, come on.
There's a reason why you want this list, baby, and I can't help you. Ain't no way. How much you make?
I don't even know how to read a contract. And then when you talk about, you know, the resources now for me, I was the, you know, a high draft pick. So there was already agents. We know the agent game. Everybody's reaching out. And for me, I'm getting knowledge. I'm not going to steer away these relationships. I'm going to learn. I'm going to get everything I can. So when the time came, I kind of already had a plan on what I was going to do. You know, I was already a big fan of LeBron, big fan of, you know, the movement of NIL. And when it happened, it was like I was ready for it. Luckily, the first deal I did was with Phil Knight. And it was like an NFT at the time. So it was a space that he didn't know and I didn't know, but we got people. Exactly. We got people who were, he had people that kind of showed me the way. And that was kind of that first step. And then from there, it was just like plug and play.
Right. So when your first NIL deal coming from a man who's mastered the business plan.
Come on.
And what they say, you're going to take 500 grand or have a sit down with Jay-Z. I'm going to sit down with Phil Knight.
Yeah, I'm going to sit down. I'm still getting my little, I ain't going to get 500, but I'm going to still make something off of it.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is going to lead me to something.
You know?
Man, we love that. All right, so what was that transition like from college to NFL? Because pre-NIL, boys got to league and had to figure out how to have the, you know, the fiduciary responsibility, the finances to set aside and figure out your life. Or you sort of figured that out in college. So that sort of was a, you know, just a neither here nor there for you when you got to league. So did that make it easier for you to transition, or because it's just like, all right, more money?
It was definitely easier. I say the bad part, it wasn't really bad, but I say the only hard part was that my taste got really expensive faster than I would have hoped. So it wasn't that I was a guy who's, you know,
you can't blame nobody else on that but you.
You know, so it's not like I'm a guy to go blow my money, but it's like, yo, I might as well just eat the highest quality food at the highest quality restaurants at the highest quality, you know, like it's just you realize like, man, I can. So why wouldn't I, you know, and in that part, you have to understand the time management. You know, people don't really realize like, yeah, you get paid 50 million, 40 million, 30 million, but you still got 30 years left to live. So it's like, it's easy to go spend $1,000 a day, $1,500, $200, $2,000, $110,000 every 2 weeks. But then it's like, you know, that's going to run out.
Right. It's good while I'm playing, but what happens beyond after I'm playing? I'm over here.
So that was my idea. That's been my whole thing where it's like, don't keep all my eggs in one basket. Continue to, you know, be open to longevity, basically.
No, man. Hey, look, I put it like this. My rookie year, I probably didn't spend a thing. I paid for my car cash and was like, this is my money and I need it now. Like, I don't know how much longer I'm going to play. But after that, my second year, I was like, oh, I got to diversify the portfolio. I need a rental property. I need this. Bro, after my fifth year, I was like, bro, I just want to focus on football. And then I was like somewhere around like that fifth year, sixth year, I was like, all right, some moves I've made, like, you know, that first offseason, I go to Vegas and you have a Vegas weekend. The professional way, you know what I'm saying? Like living life lavishly.
After your first one, you start thinking like, yeah, I don't know how many more times I could go to Vegas.
I'm not doing this again.
Hey, look, I was thinking about the Super Bowl being in Vegas. I'm like, yeah, I got one day. They getting 6 hours out of me. I'm gonna make sure my mama come with me.
Bruh, I literally, I'd be like this. I'm like, I'll be running things off, you know, off the fam. I'm like, hey, bro, how much you make a year? And he'd be like, hey, would you do this? And he'd be like, hey, that's crazy. If I hear like a hype response from him,
yeah, now you're doing it.
I use other people to ground me. I'd be like, hey, mom, what? Like, oh yeah, I was thinking about, you know, like my second year in the league. I was like, I'm thinking about this Audi R8. She's like, I don't even know what an Audi R8 is. I was like, mom, it's 118. 100. I said, cool. Okay, bring me back to life.
Exactly.
Bring me back to life. You know, like you got to have some sort of grounding situation.
Yeah, that structure. That.
Because you can get into a locker room and, you know.
Oh, keeping up with the Joneses.
Keeping up with the Joneses when, you know, your boy roll in with the Kingsford truck, with the new body.
Yeah,
big.
You start looking at Jordan coming like, in.
You like, but I had the same Tahoe for 11 years. And every year I'd be like, bro, I'm like, I'm two models behind. I should go ahead. And at some point, you're like, why?
iPhones. What iPhone do you have right now? I have no clue what iPhone I have. No clue.
14, but it's got a crack in it. So the 15 is probably happening.
Yeah, that's going to happen. But like once you get it, it's just like we upgrade because we can. But then it's like, you know, you get to a point where it's like, man, all of this is the same thing.
Until the phone starts slowing down on me, I'm usually going to rock it for my rule is like every 2 or 3 years. So like
two or three.
Yeah. But I got a crack in it. So like it's going to have to go.
And look, if you ask Cam 10 years ago, his phone had a crack in it. He was taking it down to the place on the corner, getting it fixed by one of the places for $60. Now he just get a whole phone up. Ain't that a... You done changed up, Cam. You done changed up. You bougie.
Absolutely.
Now,
hey, bougie. So there's some things in life you don't fight.
I feel like you can't fight that one.
Hey, traveling is that one thing for me. Like I may be tight. I mean, be a tightwad in a lot of places in my life. We travel. I'm here to sleep the best. Eat the best, drink well. Hey,
the best commercial I ever seen was, why save during your travel when you can save on your travel? I was like, yeah, I would never want to be that guy to have to save during the travel. Let me just save on it.
Man,
that was a great commercial. That was a great commercial.
Yeah, is there any place that you've traveled so far that you've like, dang,
man, I've done kind of my first year. I did like a world tour. So I did Dominican Republic first. Mm. Then I went to where'd I go? Jamaica. Then I went to Africa. I went to South Africa. Then I went to Hawaii. Then I went to
we're in South Africa.
Caicos. I went to Botswana. It's a city. I went to, I flew into Johannesburg. And then like we drove about 5 hours to a small country. It's probably only holds like, I think 1 million people. It was called Botswana though. And we drove through, they say, the caves or the mountains where the first remains of humans were found. So literally like
literally the cradle the of people, civilization.
Yeah, the first people walked the earth. We kind of drove past. So that was pretty dope. And then this year I'm going to Spain, going to trying to put something together in Nigeria. I just did my DNA test, found out I was Nigerian. So this summer I'm gonna try to go out there and go get some knowledge and some you know, history.
Hey, Spain.
Yeah, Madrid, Spain. Yeah, I'm going to Barcelona. Ibiza. Yeah, I'm going to go to Barcelona, then go down to I'm gonna fly into Paris, go to Barcelona, stay in Paris for a couple of days, go to Barcelona, and then there's another place called something with an M, but it's an island. I can't think of my girl found it. Modico Island, something like that.
Yeah, there's a few of them. I'm gonna just simply say, add in San Sebastian.
San Sebastian.
It's right there by, if you're flying into France first, right? It's right there. It's a connection area of France and Spain on the
San Sebastian.
Yeah, what is it? The Poconos, Poconese, whatever mountains.
Yeah, my geography is the worst. I have no clue.
It's Basque country, but it's one of the most beautiful spots that I think I've seen to date. Like, wow. think of a fire city that meets like beach and whatever it is. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
tucked away.
San Sebastian.
Bilbao, San Sebastian. You got to go to a soccer game. It's happens.
Oh, have to, yeah.
Yeah, you got to go. You got to check it out. Anyways, it's funny just to hear you talk. Like, I've seen you talk before, you know, pre-draft, whatever that was going through, but it's like you're talking well beyond your years, bro. And even this year, it seems like you've become sort of like a vocal leader, even as a young kid. And I say kid because, you know, second year, you got another 10 years to play. Yeah. You know
what I'm saying? About 13 to 2. Come on.
Yeah. Hey, bro, that sort of happened for me, bro. Like my second, third year in the league, all the old heads got sort of pushed out, went to another team, got paid, whatever it was. I looked around and I was like,
turnover
from a rookie to a vet, like, was my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, dang, like that. So, you know, you talk about you just being like a vocal leader early on in this stage. Is it, you know, the factors that contribute to that is like your willingness to be that, to step into it? Because, I mean, you still had, up until what, halfway through the season, you had Leonard Williams.
Yeah.
You got Sexy Dexy over there. You know, you got some old heads, but it seems like the more you talk, the more you amped up, you came that spark for your defense.
So, you know, I would say first, you know, when it talks about leadership, it's position first, based off of quarterback, running back, middle linebacker, safety, guys who, you know, kind of are the focal points of the defense or of the offense. So that's kind of the initial leadership role. And then Dexter Lawrence, obviously, who's the biggest guy, you know, in the room, right? It makes no, you know, when a guy, but then it comes to play, right? And I think that's the big component that you learn once you start to, you get into the league, that it's all about how much you contribute on the field. And if you're able to contribute on the field, so even my first year, like, you know, you want to lead guys, but if you ain't making plays, ain't nobody listening. That's the truth behind it. So then once, you know, second year comes and now it's like, okay, I'm more of an instrument in the defense. You know, a couple guys leave, a couple guys get traded. Now it's like there are voids that have to be filled in a team chemistry standpoint. You know, that's when you have to make that decision where, you know, are you going to be that guy to step in? You know, and it's tough because people think leadership is something that you can choose. You know, it's not really something you choose. It's something that your teammates kind of revere you as, you know?
Absolutely.
So, for me, I would say that it was just learning how to be a leader. You know, you think you know how to lead until it's time to lead, right? And you think you have everything figured out, or you think you know what you're doing until you get in adverse situations. So for me, man, first year, you know, I think it was just understanding the landscape, understanding where I fit in, understanding, you know, people. And then second year, it was, okay, how can I help my teammates be their best selves, right? So, you know, before every game, I'm asking Bobby, you know, my middle linebacker, I'm like, what do you need from me for you to play your best? What parts do you think I can support your vision, you know, as a leader of the team and be a support on?
Now, say Bobby's last name because I've never tried. Bobby O'Kirk. There we go.
O'Kirk. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. O'Kirk. Yeah,
exactly. That was a good one. I never heard. Okay. That's a good one. I like that. I'm going to have to take that back to him. But yeah. Okay. But he's definitely a true leader. And I think, you know, when it comes to leadership, you have to kind of emulate certain people. So I'm very blessed to have a true leader, natural leader that I can, you know, emulate as far as off the field, as far as taking care of your body, as far as watching film and things like that, to, you know, continue to be a vessel for other teammates, younger teammates coming in, things like that.
Facts. Man, Alexa, I love to see the growth, bro. I'm looking forward to your year three. What are you looking forward to in year three?
Oh, man, honestly, I'm chasing these sacks, man. You know how that.
Come on, man.
Toss, but you know how that feel to be in the hunt. You know, absolutely. It's a great feeling because it's always a new challenge. But that's where I'm at. You know, obviously, it's going in my third year's year for renegotiations. If you're one of those guys, right? If you're one of the ones, so. For me, you know, Michael Strahan said one great thing to me. Seriously, he said one great thing to me when I got in the league. He said, you know, it's easy to be one of the 11 guys on the field, but you want to be the one out of the 11. And that's that difference. So that's kind of what I'm working on this year.
Shout out Mike.
Mike,
friend that money.
Hey, I want to be like Mike.
Man, that's Mike Strahan. Definitely used to grow up watching that man. I was like, I want to be like him. Yeah. And then I realized, yeah. I was like, man, I'm 285. Hey,
look, this is even surreal because I was looking at you like that. Now we sitting here on the podcast, we sitting here in the league together, and it's amazing. Yeah, no, for real, it's amazing. I remember you were talking about it was really you and Von Miller, two guys that I've always looked at just on a vocal standpoint of people who, you know, are going to give their tips in pass rush. But you talk about, you know, I think you said you had something where you like, if you go fast with bad technique, you're okay. If you go fast with good technique, you're doing great. But if you go slow with bad technique, you're going to be on the bench somewhere. You said something like that. And that stuck with me. Like that stuck with me. That was something that I've taken. And then, you know, obviously there are gems that other, you know, guys like you have been dropping, and it's just up to the younger guys to keep, you know, using those gems and implement them into your game.
Man, I'm trying to tell you, look, I learned that one early at a young thing, because my rookie year, I was out there like, all right, well, I got to play the run. I got to have this technique. But if you move slow, even if it's the right answer, you're wrong.
It don't matter.
You're wrong. But if you move fast and you be like, it's AB and you miss the wrong one, you can still be in the right spot.
And you think about a guy like Max Crosby, and, you know, he's a guy who right now is the epitome of, you just do it hard, do it fast. Everything's going to work out. This is no knock to him. He has one move. That swipe is the most dangerous move I've ever seen a human do.
He's got a counter spin too, for sure.
His counter spin.
His swipe is stupid. But that counter spin.
How many guys are going to keep getting got with the swipe?
How many guys are going to keep getting got with the long arm? How many guys are going to keep getting got with a swim? Look, when you perfect your craft, it doesn't matter about them. I said this early and often. An offensive lineman is just an offensive lineman. I'm now rushing against the quarterback because I need to know how fast he's releasing the ball. Because the offensive linemen, they're cattle. There's gonna be strong ones, but whatever.
I never swiped till I saw Max Crosby get like 13 sacks off all swipes. Then I was like, you know what? There's something I need to figure out. I gotta figure it out. And then he just plays hard, man. And when you play hard and you play every snap, dude, you reap the benefits of it.
Absolutely. I was hoping you were gonna say, hey, I'm gonna evolve into a killer run stopper. But you know what? I get it. Look, in this day and age.
See, don't overlook the run. That is the difference to me between a lot of pass rushers out there and let's say four down football players. I told myself when I came into the league, I'm gonna be a four down guy. I'm not the biggest guy, not the fastest guy, not the strongest guy, but I'm gonna be trustworthy on first down all the way to fourth. So when you talk about run stopping, you talk about things like that, like that's, you can't even rush the passer unless you set an edge. You gotta
be
set out there the
like
edge
I'm like,
first.
Hey, I'll be waiting for them to run my way. In fact, look, by the time we played y'all, I think I was damaged by then. I had a whole high ankle and low ankle. I was like, all I can do is stop the run.
The coldest thing is when you see guys like, and me, I came out of a system in college where it was like there was no jumping around blocks to make a play, right? And it's like when you're in the league though, it's like, you know, you almost get frustrated a little bit because it's like, yo, all these guys are making these tackle for losses and they're jumping around blocks. And I've been
told,
I
know you're not
supposed
to be in a C gap. And here you are.
It's like me, you take it, you make it. And it's like, you start to realize that when you are a guy who has the instinct and you have the trust within your coaches, it's like, you got to go play big and make big plays. And, you know, I always think of a guy like TJ Watt. TJ Watt is a perfect example.
Go to the casino one time.
You TJ Watt get 20 sacks and he gonna get 10 tackles for losses because he gonna jump him, he gonna take it, he gonna play his game.
No doubt.
And it's amazing.
He knows his body type and he's like, look, what I'm not here gonna do is set the edge every time against somebody who outweighs me by 80 to 90 pounds. But what I can do is give you all this movement. Oh, I can shoot up the field. Oh, and now you're nervous and now I'm underneath.
Come on.
And he also has got huge interior D linemen like across the board. But yeah. You know, but yeah, shoot, I appreciate you, bro. I'm gonna wrap this up real quick, bro. I appreciate you tapping in with me on my podcast, Off the Edge, bro. I see nothing but great things going for you. So, you know, if you have 11 sacks this year, man, I try and tell people, don't worry about the sacks. Worry about your process, because the sacks are going to come. And I mean, your process, you already built the process. So just keep on believing and keep on striving for greatness.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, too. I appreciate you, bro.
Man, appreciate my guy, Kayvon, coming on the pod, you know, blessing us with his personality. Definitely, I think that, you know, as a young bull, he out there sort of leading the charge, him, guys like Aiden Hutchinson, these young, talented pass rushers, from, you know, Nick Bosa, I guess, still technically young, Chase Young. The league is in good hands right now. You know, George Karlaftis. But beyond just being a pass rusher, it's great to see their personality off the field. And so at this point, you know, speaking of off the field, I want to go through, you know, a New Orleans current event that's definitely heavy on my mind and my heart. So we're going to talk about what happened between, you know, New Orleans Saints, New Orleans this week, with my guy Will Smith's shooter, Cardale Hayes. Earlier this last week, a guy by the name of Cardale Hayes, a New Orleanian who murdered a teammate, Will Smith of mine, years back, was given a verdict reached upon by the jury where, you know, he was sentenced to, what is it, up to 40 years in jail. I mean, he shot somebody in the back 8 times. You know, it was a road rage incident gone wrong, and it destroyed multiple families. You figure Will Smith's side, you know, he left the world too soon in his 30s, left a wife, you know, left 3 kids. I mean, that's 3 kids that are growing up without their father because a man got upset that he thought he was tapped in the back, or maybe he was tapped in the back. But either way, it was an incident that just went awry. If you guys don't know, Will Smith was a defensive end, former of the New Orleans Saints for 9 seasons, I do believe. Then I think a 10th season maybe with the Patriots, and was my OG when I first came in. Somewhere in there in his retirement, you know, he had a accident that happened in the night. Him, his wife, 2 other people in a car bumped into. I think that's what the main action was Cardale Hayes had felt like Will Smith had tapped into his car, some long lines, seen tape, video, whatever it is, but didn't address it properly. And Cardale Hayes goes off into a chase after Will Smith. They then somewhere catch up to each other because there's an altercation that happens. Words are said. Will Smith is going back to his car. Cardale Hayes says he was fearing for his life and shot at my teammate and in his back 8 times. Ended up shooting the wife a time or two. Just messy on all accounts, and you try not to be affected by it, but you always are. I mean, somebody be in their 30s to be murdered out in the streets of New Orleans. And what I'm sure one side will say is self-defense somehow, and the other side would say murder. Man, you can only pray that God sorts it all out at the end of the day, because that's a deal. I mean, shout out to the Smith family for being rock solid. You know, the oldest son, Will Smith Jr., is over at Ohio State as a D lineman, following his father's footsteps. You know, Winter is a young budding kid in high school. Daughter is, she like a senior now? Like, the whole family's grown. Like, we've witnessed these kids grow up for real, for real. So I know that they're affected. And then, of course, Cardale Hayes is a New Orleanians who had tried out for the Saints. So for him to, you know, say he didn't know who Will Smith was, yeah, all right, nah. The New Orleans lives, breathes, and eats and sleeps and drinks football. He knew who he was, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. The altercation leveled up to a whole nother spot, you know, so his family's affected, of course. I'm sure, I think he has some kids. He's clearly got outspoken, you know, family relatives that are fighting for his for his side. Where there's going to be hurt, there's always going to be people who think they're on the right side or whatever it is. Again, I'm going to leave that to the jury and to Jesus to figure that one out, because I do not know the intricate delicacies of that one. And that's our show. Man, I appreciate y'all for tuning in. Not even just like this week. Let's just be real. I appreciate everybody who's tapping in with me on the pod, Off the Edge, the podcast. You know, yours truly going through the gambit of emotions week to week through the games of the highs and lows. Sitting here over the next couple of weeks, we'll be heading into Super Bowl week. Just shout out to y'all, the listeners, for tapping in with me. So if anything, tell your teammates, tell your compatriots about the pod. Spread it around. You know, we're international out here. You know, from Africa to America. Let them know, you know, Off the Edge, the podcast. It's a podcast you want to tune into, and that's anywhere where you listen to your podcast. That's Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio app, wherever else you can find it. Come on, tell your friends to tell their friends. Get everybody listening to the pod. Leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us a review. And just, you know, leave us a follow. And always remember to tap in to Off the Edge, the podcast. I appreciate y'all. Major blessings, big vibes, levels to everything. Peace.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.